Excited this morning. We are in our Name of God, Names of God series, and today we are going to spend time in probably one of the most popular passages of Scripture. Some of you may already have an idea. What do you think? If you see, did you just break your phone? Don't let your mom see that. You're flipping your phone and it's hitting the floor. What do you see when you see this picture here? What do you see? It's pretty easy.
Sheep.
So what would be the name of God? The Hebrew is Jehovah Ra'ah, or as it is grammatically, it's Jehovah Rohi. Okay, so we can say that together, Jehovah Rohi. And if it's a picture of a cute sheep, then the Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, is my
shepherd.
Okay, so we'll be looking at Psalm 23. Feel free to turn your Bibles open if you want to, Psalm 23, and then we'll start with a word of prayer together. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. As soon as I walked in here, the class, there's just a buzz of excitement, and we are so happy this morning to celebrate you, Jesus, Resurrection Sunday. And I don't know, at least for me, for some reason, this is one of the highlight days of the year. And I just pray as a shepherd myself, an under shepherd to Jesus, I pray that our church would, by your leading and by your Holy Spirit, be led to be a people of praise this morning, a people of celebration. Because today was your resurrection day, and you conquered death. You conquered the sin in our life. You gave us the power to a new life today. And we want to celebrate you, Jesus. We want to lift up the name of Jesus so high. And I just pray that everything we do, every group that is meeting this morning for Sunday school and our worship service, every song and the word that is to be preached, Lord, will just elevate you. And we would make much of you today, and that everything we do here in this church, every heart that you see, would be this collective sound that is so pleasing to your ear. When you look upon us, Lord, it is pleasing to your eyes. When you smell the aroma of our worship, Lord, it would be so pleasant to you, Lord, that everything we do today would bless your name. And we want to do that because you are the God who has blessed us. And we thank you for that this morning. We pray that even in our short time of gathering, you would show us how rich your scripture is, and that we would be able to soak in it and fill us, Lord, with joy today. Fill us with the satisfaction of even looking at your word and being having scripture revealed to us. So we thank you, and I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, did I hear an amen in here?
Amen.
No amens.
Amen.
The young ones are, it's like, amen. That's why in youth group we knock on wood, right? You guys have any wood in front of you? Knock on metal. All right, let's read this together. If you have it from memory, that's cool. If you don't, hey, gentlemen, can you guys offer your chairs to some of the ladies standing in the back and come and grab a chair here, and then let's open up some more chairs. Right, oh, the gentlemen really stand up. Oh, there you go. We have a few gents that are non-gentlemen. And then there's also chairs that we want to set it up for anybody who comes in. We have like 3 or 4. I think it's okay. All right. Let's read this together from inside from your soul, right? There's a way to read it mentally, and then there's a way to read it from your spirit and your soul. Okay, one.
You can see it.
Okay, one, two, three. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. All right, so Jehovah Rohi, the original word, without changing any grammar, is Ra'ah. We can say that. Say Ra'ah. And Jehovah, I'll probably be using Rohi, which is different from Roy, the Lord God who sees. El Roy was what we did about a month or two ago, and that's the God who sees. This is Jehovah Rohi, the Lord, Yahweh, is my shepherd. Whenever you see L-O-R-D capitalized in your Bibles, that is what? That's an indication that the word, the name of God, Yahweh, was used, right? That's God's self-revealing name. I am who I say I am. So the Lord is my Rohi. Let's say Jehovah Rohi together. Jehovah Rohi. All right. So what is the primary responsibility of a shepherd? What is the primary responsibility of a shepherd? This morning, I'm going to let you guys cheat a little bit because we don't run into shepherds every day. I don't think anybody has an uncle who's a shepherd, right? Or a grandfather who was a shepherd. Any buddies whose families are shepherds? Back in the day, this is very common. In an agrarian society. So I want you to use your phones and Google and or be in a group of like three people and even search up like what do shepherds do? And I want you guys just to like look through it a little bit and then talk about some of the meaningful stuff that you find for you. Like, oh, this is kind of interesting, or oh, yeah, I know this, and just kind of share one or two of those, all right? Get in a group of three, and online, I don't know what to do, because Daniel's not here. I don't know what to do. How do we do? You guys. Breakout rooms. I'm going to just do one breakout room for you guys. Is that good? Okay. Google search. What do shepherds do? And talk about it. All right. Online, I'm going to start with you guys. What is? What are some things that seem meaningful to you as you searched up this responsibility of shepherds? I'm going to write it down. Anybody online?
Yes, we actually had the most interesting conversation.
Is that my fault? Are you guys muted?
No.
Wait, are you guys not?
Oh. Hello?
Hold on. Wait, I don't know. Is it muted? Select a speaker.
I got it.
Wait, the soundbar needs to be
true. Oh, the soundbar's not on.
Try again.
Okay, try again. Speak. Testing.
Hello.
Yeah, there you go. Perfect. Beautiful.
Okay. We actually had the most interesting conversation.
Great.
I think I heard it from before. I don't know, but I heard it more in detail today. I don't know if our member would like to share more, but can I share a little?
Yep. This is not God, by the way. This is Janet.
I don't know if the person wants me to share or not. I don't know.
Oh, you might want to ask permission first.
But anyways, from personal experience.
Shepherding experience?
Yeah, from personal experience. So it's, to me, it's, you guide, and you watch over them.
Okay. All right. Nice.
And without
personal experience.
Yes.
Oh, that's good. The only personal experience I have with sheep is eating them. Lamb. No, seriously. Even shepherds. Oh, I have a book. I forgot to bring my shepherding book. Even the shepherd, the book of the shepherds says that it's a joy, even when people come visit, to take one of the lambs to like roast it on a spit. All right. How about this group? Ladies first. Should we defer to the ladies in the back? Ladies first. In the back.
The older ladies. I think one of the ones that what is pretty funny is shepherds must be willing to work in all adverse weather conditions.
All. All adverse weather conditions. Okay. Good. Anything else?
We were thinking about how they are basically the only defense of the sheep. Mm-hmm. They have, we were reading a description that was kind of funny, like they're not camouflaged, they have no sharp claws, they have bad eyesight and hearing, and they are easily frightened and confused, and they just have nothing to like survive.
Yeah.
So the shepherd's like, they're only
right, the only, good.
Yeah.
Sounds like people that we know.
Samuel.
Okay, good. Young ladies in the front. Abby, you're gonna say something?
Oh yeah. It was like that. The shepherds tend for the sheep.
Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Tend.
Like they take care.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. I'm gonna add that to tend, care for. This whole thing right here is tend. Okay, good. Anything else from your guys' group?
They'll also like guard, like they're the shepherds have the only defense.
Yes, the only defense.
They'll guard them against like predators.
Yes. Guard against predators. Enemies. Good. All right. Older men or younger men? Younger men. Defer.
Someone said they heard sheep.
Herd. Okay. Sheep herd. What does it mean to herd?
To gather.
And
then we also said like some of the adjectives that are already used, like guide, lead, protect.
Mm-hmm. Why do they need to gather them? Why do shepherds sheep herd? Or herd sheep?
So they don't get lost.
Okay. Is it to gather, to not lose any? Okay. Good. And anything else? Okay, how about you guys?
Providing directions.
Mm-hmm. Guiding, okay.
And, we talked about protecting talk like, about like shearing the wool.
Oh, shearing the wool. Okay, I'm going to put that one down because that's different. Okay, why shearing the wool?
Because your hair can grow out too long. And
right.
You can see.
Can't see.
That's why they're
cool, you know. Alba puts his hair back so that he can see, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so shearing the wool. Okay, good. That's cool.
One last sheep.
Yeah, you know, like the skater sheep. All right, that's cool.
Emo sheep.
Okay, yeah, emo sheep. Okay, very cool. I think it's a fun exercise, and what I want to make a point of is that the shepherd's main goal, it's really interesting. We're going to look at some of the qualities of shepherds and the actually qualities of sheep today. But the primary directive of the shepherd is to take care, right? That is shepherding, herding, caring for. So you guys are bringing up many different things. And when the group in the back says, you have to be willing to work in all weather conditions, good or bad, and the shepherd is the only line of defense. Domesticated sheep are completely dependent on their shepherd. Okay, and that's what we're talking about here. I think sheep are were the second animal in all of human history to be domesticated. Anybody have a guess of the first animal that was domesticated to be human, like to be domesticated by humans, by mankind? First would be what?
Horses.
Horses? Cats? Dogs? Final answer? Like, huh? So the first domesticated that I read was dogs. Okay, so dogs are first, second are sheep. And when we think about this, these sheep that is being written about in this psalm, and when we say the Lord is our shepherd, our rohi, there's a connotation in there. There's a meaning in there that's saying, when I'm saying the Lord is my shepherd, I am a sheep. And I have to completely rely. What's another synonym for rely? I have to completely rely. I have to completely
depend.
I have to completely depend. I have to completely what? Rely, depend,
surrender,
count on. What's a common word used in our faith? Starts with a T. Trust. I have to completely trust in my shepherd for my survival. And I'm not sure this morning if you call on the Lord as Rohi, as your Rohi. You may know him in general as a concept, and you've heard the word, the Lord is a shepherd, but you're like, I don't know if I'm as dumb as all the other sheep. You know, the reason why a sheep wouldn't, we have to think about that. Why wouldn't a sheep fully depend on their shepherd? Right? There would be only certain reasons why a sheep wouldn't depend on their shepherd. And the life of that sheep is going to be pretty short-lived. Right? It won't be a very happy life. Because many people, when we take this example, as a Christian who has placed faith in Jesus, but cannot see Jesus fully as shepherd. It means that I want to take care of myself through other means. And so give me some examples of things that people look to take care of themselves. What do people count on? What do people depend on? What do people rely on to survive in this world? What are you guys all working for? Even students, you're trying to get good grades to get into a good college to get a good what? A good job for what? Good what?
Paycheck.
Money. That's one thing. What else do people look for?
Food.
Okay. Yeah, food. I need food. But you need money for food. Right? What else?
Good health.
Okay, good health. I'm going to take care of my own health.
Financially stable.
Right, you want to be financially stable. That's the goals in our society. That's the goals in which your parents raised you. I don't know how many of your parents raised you to say, be fully dependent on God. I think that's rare today. If a parent says to their children, I'm going to raise you, I'm going to make you competent, so that you're not a fool. I'm gonna teach you how to work hard, but I want you to completely be dependent on God. And I hope that if you're hearing this right now, that would be your parenting goal, right? That when you raise your children, you're not teach them to be like a homeless beggar, right? And do nothing to teach them about hard work and responsibility. But that your phrase, the phrase that they would remember from you is, what are they getting from you? Are they getting from you how to take care of yourself, be financially stable, take care of your own health, be successful, make good relationships, yada, yada, yada? Or do they hear from you the primary call of parenting? Depend on God. He is dependable. He's reliable. He's trustworthy, right? And I wonder how that plays in our own life. What are we actually looking to as our shepherd, as the one who takes care of us? What takes care of us, right? I gave some of those examples, I think. I didn't. I think I deleted it. So let's look at what David says in this very first phrase in the Hebrew. The Lord is my shepherd. What observations do you have as you think about this? The Lord Yahweh. Yahweh is my shepherd. And I gave you some hints. Right? Look at the grammar. Look at the type of personal pronoun, right? Like, what are some observations that you have? Yahweh is my shepherd. Go ahead and shout out. Do you guys need to get in groups? You should, right? Need to get in groups?
No, I think David personalized the relationship.
Okay. What tells you that?
My.
Right. Yahweh is my shepherd. That's why I want you to be careful when you read scripture. Are you like David to say the Lord is my shepherd? He's personal to me. Notice that. It's very, what Nancy said, it's personal. Is Yahweh personal to you? Or is Yahweh impersonal? Distant? Is he personal? Is he my shepherd? Or do you look at other people and say, oh, I can see that Yahweh is their shepherd. Oh, that's really cool. I see it all around church where Yahweh is their shepherd. But I wonder this morning if Yahweh is my shepherd. Is Yahweh my shepherd? What else do you see? What does the verb tense tell you? Anybody know what I'm talking about when I say verb tense? It's in the present tense.
Is, yeah.
Is. The Lord is my shepherd. I was thinking about this. I'm like, why didn't he say the Lord was my shepherd? Or the Lord is going to be my shepherd? These should have some significance for us. And I wonder what they would be if we just spent, which we're not going to do, but you could do it on your own this week. If you spend just like 10, 15 minutes thinking about this, is the Lord right now my shepherd? Maybe he was before. Maybe I trusted more when life was less complex. Maybe I depended on him more, but now I depend more on myself. I used to depend on him a lot, but now I depend on money, financial stability. I depend on the relationship that I have with someone that is so important to me. I can't lose that. I love success in what I do. That keeps me going. That's what takes care of me. My personal success. So I'm always working hard for success. But I used to. The Yahweh used to be my shepherd. For David, he said, Yahweh is right now my shepherd. So how much do you truly rely on God as your Jehovah Rohi? How much do you rely on him? Something for you to think about. What does David know about shepherding? Now, David wrote, the Lord is my shepherd. Is it because he sees shepherds? What do you guys know about David? What would he know about shepherding?
He was a shepherd.
He was a shepherd, right? If you see it in 1 Samuel 17, there's all these verses. Right in one chapter, this is when Goliath was over there taunting the Israelites. And David had all these older brothers. I don't know, who has older brothers in here?
Just kidding.
I'm like, what? Okay, Kevin. Right? All his older brothers are off. They're military dudes. This is what would pump my son up. My son loves military. He wants to be a Navy SEAL one day. So all his brothers are in the military, and he's at home watching the sheep, tending, herding the sheep, right? And his dad goes, hey, why don't you go to the front lines, bring some information back. I want to see how your brothers are doing, because they're far away, right? They don't have Twitter, they don't have Instagram, they don't have like news outlets. He's the news. Right? So it actually says David was the youngest son. His older brothers were in Saul's army, and David went back and forth so he could help his father with the sheep. Right? So one day David left all of his sheep with another shepherd, and he went out early with these gifts that his father has directed him to bring. He's basically supposed to bring to his brothers all this like bread and grain, roasted grain, right? They love to eat roasted grain, just kind of the way we would, I don't know, people play baseball. When I watch my son play baseball, we're spitting seeds all day long. And that's the closest thing I can think about eating green. Unless maybe, you know, hard rice, Korean rice might be kind of like, you know, Vietnamese rice is more broken too, right? Kind of, it's a little harder. And I like that texture, but I'm thinking about like roasted grains, probably like just sunflower seeds, right? And so he brings seeds and bread to his brothers, and he says, bring special cheeses. Wow, where does cheese come from, right? Cheese is from sheep and goats to the captains and all that stuff, right? To the officers. And so this whole thing talks about David's experience. Look at what he said. And when David was like, who's this stupid giant taunting God's people? And then they're like, da da da, and you guys know the story. And he goes, like, I'll take him down. And the people are like, what experience do you have? And he said, I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats. When a lion or a bear, that's so cool. Now, when I was a kid, it's your hair standing up. When a lion or bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and rescue the lamb from its mouth. Do you see this young man, this boy, just chasing after a bear with a club? Like, give me that sheep back, you punk. And he's just trying to beat down a lion or a bear? What kind of boy is this? I love this guy, right? And he said, I would catch it by the jaw and I would just club it to death. And I could relate with that because I've clubbed an animal to death.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so when I saw Frank, we had zero period, early bird, club this animal to death in the morning. My mom made me do it. All right, it's impossible. I clubbed it to death. It was freaky. I got blood all over myself. I had to clean myself. I went to zero period class. I walked by Frank, and he says, what's wrong with you, man? You look psycho. I'm like, I don't know what happened. He goes, once you club it once, you can't stop. You just go like something snapped. Right, I clubbed it once. I was supposed to just hit the skull once, and I had a hammer, and I clubbed that thing, you just blood splattered along my clothes. And I'm like, okay, mom, I killed it, right? It was a possum. And mom, I killed that, like, bloody hammer. And then she's like, in Chinese, she's like, get rid of it. I'm like, what do I do? It's a bloody carcass, can't even see the face anymore. It's like a bloody lump of fur. Guts like coming out, everything. She says, you take care of that. Your father died here. I'm like, I have to go to school. She goes, then do it fast. And she goes, wipe the blood off your face and change your clothes. I'm like, oh. So I'm like, putting it in a garbage bag. It was a crazy morning. I went to school like, oh, psycho. But man, I can relate with this. You're clubbing an animal to death. And he says, I've done this to both lion and bears. You can tell how much I like this section of scripture. And I'll do this to this pagan Philistine. Because he has defied the armies of, I'm going to club this sucker to death. Right? And he's probably like this tall. And this dude's like bigger than Shaq. They gave his like measurements, right? He's, dude, you know, Goliath is probably as tall as that. Like, I've done it in children worship. Like, we've measured it out. He looks at this big old strong dude, like from Game of Thrones or something, right? And he's like, this guy, he's offending God. I'm gonna club this sucker to death. That's easy for me. Wow. I like that attitude. That's a can do, right? He's a shepherd. He's not a shepherd who's just, right? So when one of you said that, the shepherd is the only defense because sheep are defenseless. And someone said they guard against enemies. Shepherds aren't like weak saucers, right? Shepherds aren't always just gentle, like speaking to the sheep. Oh, come on, let this go. Whatever your name is. That seems about the right name for a sheep. Right? Like, right? You know, you're like petting me. Right? A shepherd is not just an animal lover. A shepherd is an animal protector. Right? Let me shave that hair off you, you skater, shake your sheep, right? And so when it says Yahweh is my shepherd, David is thinking through all these things from his experience. He's done shepherding. He knows what shepherding is like. He knows all the different things that you guys read and some of the things that you guys mentioned. He knows that's the deal for a shepherd. So let's get really practical. What are some of the practical differences in someone's life if the Lord is your personal shepherd? Right? And you have to be humble enough to say, I am a sheep. I think that's part of our problem. Because when we study a little bit of what sheep are, this is where we usually struggle. Because we can't, to be able to call Yahweh your shepherd, you have to be in a position, you have to have a mindset that I am his sheep. If he's my shepherd, then I am his sheep. It seems very simple, but it's not.
Okay.
Yeah, please go ahead.
So I think that for me, when I'm looking at this, that's where it, you know, you asked earlier, how is he my shepherd? How is David able to say my shepherd? I don't think he wrote this while he was at full strength killing Goliath. You know, how does he become that? It's completely the opposite. It's when, you know, yes, I don't know if you guys watch UFC, but yesterday, Israel, the guy named Israel.
Israel,
his name is Israel, right? He won, and what he said was, the hunter became the hunted, right? He's talking to his opponent. His opponent was the winner. It was hunting him, and he beat him, so it's a great upset. So he says, now he's the hunted. I think David is the hunted now. That's why he's
talking about his enemies.
Because he's actually the weaker part. In order to get to that mentality, I think it's very hard when you are winning battles. When you're killing the Goliath. I'm the bear hugger.
Yeah.
I'm the lion tamer.
Yeah.
He doesn't know anything about Jesus being on God being his shepherd. But to go from there to the point where you're my shepherd, you're leading me to, like, I walk through the valley shadow. Something happened for a person to say, oh, my shepherd.
Right.
Something happened from this glorified state to this.
Someone who's strong, someone who's clubbed to death animals.
Yeah, that's great.
Saved from the jaw of a lion or a bear.
All of a sudden, he's hiding. He's
and you're like, the Lord is my shepherd.
How did that happen?
Right, how does that happen? There's got to be something that has to go on inside of a person where you maybe are used to winning. Maybe you're used to being strong. Maybe you're used to being very capable. And you are brought to a state where you can't, I need Yahweh as my shepherd. I call him, I claim him today as my shepherd, to the point where he says, I shall not want. What that is saying is, I don't need anything else. That's what I started with. How many parents are able to teach that to their children? And if a parent has successfully planted that mindset into a child, I think there's eternal rewards for that, right? So that a child has heard from their parents, God is the one I can trust. God is the one I can trust. God, I don't need anything else. Doesn't mean I don't work hard. It just means I don't need anything else. God is all I need, and God is all I want. So what are some of the things that we know about sheep? Okay. I disagree with people or preachers who say sheep are the dumbest of animals. I don't know if they're the dumbest, but from my research, I'm not a researcher, but I do try to research things. Sheep are not the smartest of animals, okay? You don't see people training sheep the way the fans train their dog, okay? They have a smart dog. They have a smart husky. They teach, like Cindy has said to me, like he knows all these useless tricks. Like, give me some of the useless tricks that you guys have taught your dog.
Weave
between your legs. Yeah, that's a cool trick. Kind of useless, though. What's another trick that you've taught him? How to cross his feet. Be polite. Okay, time to eat. Okay, what else? Okay, cool tricks. What else? Kiss. Okay, give me a smooch. Any others?
Play dead.
Play dead, right. My brother-in-law is a really good dog trainer. So they got a mini Aussie, and they taught him this trick that's so cool. We love it. You go like this, you go bang, and he goes, and he falls over. And he falls on his side. It's really cute, useless. But why teach that dog that? Because that dog is so smart, highly intelligent. Okay? Our dog stopped learning tricks. He's not the smartest of dogs. You never see a sheep trainer, do you? Right? Hey, bang! The sheep's like, ah! Like runs away. Right? You didn't have to teach it that. You can startle a sheep very easy. Just go bang, and like all of them start running away. And you say, I taught them that, right? But you don't find a sheep teacher, like trainer, right? Like sit, and the sheep's like, like you don't even see that. No one's ever even heard of that. You teach monkey stuff. People have even taught lions stuff. Anybody go to a circus and ever see the sheep show where they have sheep jumping through hoops? They're not smart enough to do that. So they have, though, a very strong instinct to follow other sheep. It's very deeply ingrained in them. Even if it's not a good decision, they'll just follow. Have you ever heard that sheep are like lemmings, and if they all followed each other, if the first one jumped off a cliff, all the rest will follow? That's very true. They'll just be like, meh, and then it's like, oh, Samuel just jumped off, and Ryan's like, okay, let's do it. That was like a good idea. And they just jump to their death. It's like, this is like factual, that sheep, right? I read something from a shepherd that said he's seen one sheep start to like walk in this like circle. Right? And then another sheep starts, like, Ryan's like, that looks cool. And then very soon, like there's a line of sheep, and they think they're going somewhere. They think they're traveling. And they're very busy. They're like, let's go. When are we going to get there? This is so cool. I'm so stoked. Where are we going? I have no idea. I'm just following Ryan. Right? You don't want to follow Ryan. You're just going in a circle. And they are excited for this adventure. That's how not smart they are. Sorry, I got a little sidetracked there. I was reading all these funny stories. But I wonder how we might recognize ourselves as sheep. You have to be able to be at the place where Frank said, I'm not the smart, I'm not the wisest, I don't make the best decisions. I will follow other people to my detriment. Then I need Yahweh as my shepherd. Makes sense? Sheep are a prey animal and defenseless. You guys all read about that. They're easy target, okay? If you're a coyote, wolf, you're a predator, you're a hyena, and you see sheep, that's like winning the lottery. That's easy pickings right there. That's why you need a shepherd on guard. who's on guard. This one, yeah, I'm not going to tell you any stories, man. I have so many stories about this. But it's 10:30, so I'm going to stop because I got to help warm up the youth for music. Okay, so next week we're going to continue along on this. If you want to go ahead and read ahead, it's published on the website, and feel free to go through. If this is interesting to you, come back next week, and I want us to reflect on this today. Is Yahweh, is Jesus my shepherd? Is Jesus my shepherd? Is he right now? Or was he? Or do I want him to be? Is he my shepherd today? Father, I thank you this morning for the chance to just dig into the richness of your word. We've only looked at less than 10 words, Lord. And your word, once we start digging and mining, there's just so much to find. And I thank you for that. What a joy. I'm so privileged, Lord, to be able to sit in your word and to study it and to bring out these gems that I find to my brothers and sisters. I pray that today we would reflect on that. Because, Jesus, this is the reason why you were even resurrected. So that you can be our shepherd today. You can be our personal shepherd. So that we can be connected to God because of all that you went through a few days ago. All the suffering and the shame, the torture, the flogging, all of that hanging on the cross for us, for me, so that I would be able to call you my shepherd. Thank you, Jesus. We celebrate you today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.